Hello and welcome. I'm AJ.
I'm Alex.
This is NTVN, New Tech Vintage Nerds. Today we're going to talk about garden automation. Well, automation in your garden? Why does that sound like a good idea? We're going to talk about it after the intro. Let's roll. Well, before we jump into garden automation, what did you do or change in your other automation besides garden automation?
Well, I made an error in my home automation that had to do with the exterior lighting of my house, which runs off of a PIR sensor, and it also measures the amount of lux, the amount of light that you have outside. What I want to do is not just that the lights turn on when it gets dark, as in when the sun goes down, but also when it gets dark because it's bad weather. So obviously you can't link your lighting to your weather station. Well, you can, but that would be bullshit. I actually linked it to the light sensor, and when the value drops below a certain number, then the lights turn on. But I did I made a little error because, well, you also want the lights to turn off again when it gets bright again, right? Yeah. And what I thought was a brilliant idea, which, as it turned out, wasn't, is the value for turning on the lights was actually lower than the value for turning on the lights, right? Mm. So there was a difference between it. So what happened was that the lights were constantly switching between day and night mode, on, off, on, off, on, off. And that was very annoying. And I was sitting at the window a couple of days ago and was like, "What? Hold on, what's going on?" And the lights were just off, on, off, on, off, on. Okay, this is not good. Something's going wrong here. So it was just 5 lux what the difference was between switching on and switching off. So, or basically trigger over the one flow or trigger the other flow. And I guess that the values were either too close together or I don't know.
Yeah, I had the same issue in the kitchen where when the lights went on, they were shining on the sensor, and the house thought, well, it's day.
Oh, it's light.
Yeah. So I had to tweak it as well.
Yeah, that's sometimes you run into silly stuff, and this was one of that.
Yeah. So I did nothing with automation, but obviously that's not true. Mm-hmm. I tweaked a little bit about a daylight simulation. We have lighting in our bedroom, with sensors that will go off when we walk into the bedroom. Then it will, depending on the time of night, it will have normal light so you can walk through the room, but also has some, what would you call it, navigation light. It's low, but you at least you don't stump your toes onto the bed.
Yeah, we have that too.
But I also create something where the light simulates the sun. Like when now the sun comes up at, 8 o'clock-ish.
Ish,
but yeah, we have to be up before that. And I really like it, waking up with sunlight. My boss doesn't think that's a good idea, but I do. So we created a daylight simulation or sun rise simulation. So when I say into the home assistant system, this is the time I want to wake up, then he calculates back when do I have to start with turning on the lights, and the lights will be reddish like the upcoming sun and slowly moving towards yellow, and in the end it will be bright white and
bright daylight.
And the whole idea is that before the alarm clock goes, the light is at full strength, so your body is already waking up even though the alarm didn't go off yet.
And how is that working out?
It's actually pretty good. My wife says to me, well, obviously it fails sometimes because it's home automation. And then she says, well, the lights didn't go off today. It's annoying because now I'm a bit tired because I woke up through the alarm clock instead of the body already preparing for the day. So actually, I find that a win when my wife says, I miss it.
It definitely is. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So with that, other automation, garden automation. Beep is that?
Well, can you automate everything? Well, you can automate the hell out of everything. Indeed. So what is garden automation? What do you automate in your garden? Like you said last time, where the grass is growing, well, that's called fertilizer, and that's not automation. But what you can automate is, for instance, mowing your lawn. At least, well, I have done that. And if I'm well informed, so have you. Actually, you've done it before me. But also irrigation. And that is specifically interesting because actually I've done that quite extensively. So, well, we'll get into that. But basically what we automate in the garden, apart from the outside lighting, which obviously is also in there, we've got a couple of spotlights throughout the garden and on the terrace as well. But like I said, it's also irrigation, mowing the lawn, and that is very specifically at specific times of the day. Also in our front yard where we have we're trying to let a hedge grow, and we really plant those from well, it looked like little sticks we put into the ground when we put it in. And now it's also fairly impressive. Well, still a little hedge, but it is a hedge. And this hedge is irrigated automatically, and that is working wonders.
So talking about the whole robot mowing, is that home automation? Is that garden automation? Well, it's garden automation, obviously, because you don't have to do anything about it.
I do not mow my floor in my home. No, I don't.
I wouldn't eat also in the garden because then it would be concrete. I like grass, but I don't like the work. So I know you have a robot mower. I do as well. Different brands. You also integrated it into your home automation system?
Well, I did, but that's more of let's put it differently. The home automation is not steering the mow robot. That thing has a program on its own. I do not program that or start it or stop it from the home automation. The only reason why it is in the home automation is because the messaging from the robot is a bit crappy. And when it runs into trouble, I usually find out when I walk into the garden and not before that. So sometimes it's just easier to be notified, you know, the mower is stuck somewhere or whatnot, instead of walking into your garden and then looking around and where is the mower gone? Oh, hold on, it's upside down in the corner somewhere or something, right? That's the reason why it's in the home automation, not for the functionality of it.
You're not doing something like I do with my robot vacuum cleaner. That one is a bit older and cannot a vacuum when there's no light. Well, we just talked about light. So I made an automation. When you need to go a vacuum, then turn on the lights automatically so your sensors, your camera can see there where you want to vacuum. Yes, I know it's an older one.
I know.
No.
The old one, I mean, I bought a new one, and honestly, they have been improving now it's impressive. They're still not perfect. Well, I don't know why, but for some reason, ours can still get stuck on some services, even though there is a camera in front, and that thing has night vision, and it sees where it doesn't need to go or where it can't go. Still, it tries to, and that's something I still don't understand. But yeah, that's well, we're deviating.
So you're not doing something with a robot mower.
No. And the reason why is very simple. That thing has its own program. It bases the amount of or the time of day when it mows and how much it mows on the parameters I give it. So I tell it what sort of grass I have. The grass in my garden is a bit mixed, so there are several sorts mm-hmm. of grass in the garden. So you give that the sort of soil that you have, the irrigation if you do and when you do that, and fertilization if you do that, how much do you do that, etc. So you all enter all that information into the app, and also the size of your lawn. And then it automatically calculates how often it has to mow. And you just, you know, that's a fireman forget mission. You just put that thing on its home base and you just press play, and the rest, it will sort out itself. The only thing I actively do is I clean it regularly because, well, the wheels get filled up with dirt and mud and mowed grass and stuff. And the underside obviously gets clogged up with dried grass at some point in time. And it's got very tiny blades, and you need to replace those blades every now and again. I think I've got it scheduled now to send me a reminder every 3 months to actually replace the blades. They're like little razor blades. So they're not expensive. I think I pay 15 euros for 30 blades, and it takes 6 at a time. So with 30 blades, I can go 5 times a quarter. So for 15 euros, that's more than a year. It will run. So that's wonderful, and it does a beautiful job mowing. The funny thing about a robotic lawnmower is that if you specifically in the summer, if you mow your lawn every day, and you know, let's be fair, if you do that manually, you won't do it, right? Nobody mows his lawnmower. I wouldn't say nobody, but I do not know anyone who would mow his lawn every day of the week. But my robot mower does. And the thing is that because it does that every day, it just cuts off little tiny snippets off the top of the grass plants. Actually, the grass is the grass plant is thicker and greener, and the grass looks far more healthy. And this is always funny. I've had numerous compliments about my lawn. People always saying, it looks so nice, it's so green, and it looks so wonderful. You must be very busy with it.
Yeah, we have the same.
That thing is busy with it. I don't do anything about it. I fertilize it once a year. That's what I do.
Yeah, so the mower does it on its own, but you also have something like irrigation. How's that working together then? I mean, water and mowing, it's not a good combination.
No, well, first of all, the mower's got a rain sensor, so as soon as it spots that it's getting wet, it will immediately run off to its hide. It's got a little sort of a garage in my garden where it sort of is dry, so it can hide there. And the best tip I can give everyone is don't let a robotic mower mow in the rain, because it will become a plow and it will kill your grass instead of mow it. But so first of all, in the app of the robotic mower, you can enter when you have irrigation scheduled, so it knows when the grass probably will be wet, and it just navigates around it. So the way that I've scheduled it now, and that is also largely because of an automation, it will the grass will be irrigated very early in the morning, so just before sunrise, meaning that in the summer that will be somewhere around 4:35 in the morning, and then the robotic mower will start mowing at around 10:30. So way after the sprayers have been done, are done, and the water is already gone, either evaporated or sunk into the soil, and it will not mow wet.
Okay.
The wet grass, because that will get stuck everywhere, and then eventually you would have to clean up the robotic
lawn. We don't want.
Well, it sort of negates the automation effect.
Exactly. Yeah. So the whole water irrigation, I know you did a lot with that. It's nice because it's all automatic. But can you tell something about it? What do you do? Why do you do it? How do you do it?
Well, I can tell a lot about it, actually. So my wife's got a vegetable garden and a greenhouse. And obviously, they need water regularly. Next to that, like I just said, we've got a lawn, and we've got plants and trees and bushes. So we're basically a border of plants and trees around the lawn. And I've got a hedge in the front garden, and we've got some brick flower beds to the side of the house. So how do you go about making sure that everything gets enough water? That's the first part. And, well, not too much, but not too little. So I've got a number of sensors deployed throughout the garden, one in front garden, sort of front yard, one in the flower bed on the side. There is one in the greenhouse. There is one in the vegetable garden. And there's one actually more or less embedded in the lawn. And those all measure the amount of moisture in the soil. And based on that, the schedule computer, which is, well, I'm using Gardena, which is, I think, a European brand, but there are other brands like Rainbird or...
Yeah, Open Sprinkler.
I think it's Eve Open Sprinkler, that can sort of do the same. So this thing just looks at, okay, so this is the sensor. The sensor says the soil, the amount of moisture in the soil is, I don't know, 40%. We've got a specific type of hedge that wants a more moist soil. So I will turn on the irrigation for the front yard for 15 minutes or so. So it's got a spray computer where the hose, the irrigation hose, is connected to, and it will turn on the spray computer. Then obviously the plants will get watered. So this is a drip hose. I don't know if I'm not sure if that's the correct translation, but basically it's a hose that you lie around the roots of the plants, and it just drips water near to the root, watering the soil. This is very, first of all, it's very efficient. Second, you can leave that on for 15 minutes and it doesn't use a huge amount of water. Now, we actually use two types of water in our garden. Now it becomes complicated. On one hand, I use just normal tap water. And we also have a dug well in our garden where it uses the groundwater. But the groundwater has an amount of iron in it, meaning that if I use that for irrigation, first of all, for instance, all the paths and terraces get reddish from the iron in the water. Second, there are a lot of plants who don't like that. Fortunately, grass doesn't mind. So I use the well for the borders and I use tap water for irrigating the vegetable garden and the greenhouse. So I've got a specific hose that goes from the outside tap to the greenhouse. It there connects to the spray computer, and then the spray computer has got almost a sort of octopus of little hoses to all of the spots where my wife has her little plants, which are now already in the living room, growing up from the little seeds to little seedlings. So as soon as they are a bit bigger and the temperature, obviously outside, is right, and you think it needs to be over 10 degrees outside at night, then they will go to the greenhouse and then will switch on the irrigation in the greenhouse. And that means that every, well, depending on what the sensor says, every morning and every evening, and sometimes depending on the weather in the summer, around midday, it will drip little bits of water on the plants. Same goes for the vegetable garden. So that same hose is split off to a separate spray computer for the vegetable garden. And the vegetable garden has little sprayers. I do not use drips there because that's inefficient. A lot of plants like to have the water come from above, specifically
tomatoes. Okay, so like rain.
They do not like exactly. They do not like a drip hose at the roots. So, at least the one, the sorts that we have. So that it just uses very, very tiny sprinklers that sprinkle the water around the vegetable garden, and that works like a charm. And when we use the water from the well, I've got a specific pump, which also from Gardena, from the same system. And the scheduler can actually turn on the pump, and then automatically the lawn and the borders are sprayed. And I've got a drip hose for the borders, which goes all around our garden to the side and into the brick planters as well.
So I hear you say a couple of times, we have a computer for this, computer for that. One of the things I want to do right now is kill my cat. Just a sec.
So these spray computers are actually part of the ecosystem of Gardena, and you just connect them to a tap. And based on whatever the sensor sees, as well as, and this is pretty good, you can actually tell the automation what sort of plant is in there, in that specific zone that you irrigate, and it will match the irrigation with the plant's needs.
So it
will look at the weather. So it will know if the local weather, if it has, if it will rain or if it will be dry. It will adjust the amount of irrigation to that. It will look at what the sensor says in the soil moisture. It will look at what sort of plants I have there, and it will also steer the time of day. A lot of plants like to have water in the early mornings, just before the sun comes up, because they can then drink all the water. And when the sun then starts shining, they do not get burned. For instance, grass is a very nice example of that. But some other plants you just don't mind. So it's a bit different on what the behavior is based on the sensor, the time of day, the weather, and the actual plant.
Yeah, so pretty intelligent.
Yeah, and you can also enter what type of soil that you have, similar to the lawnmower. So if it is sandy, for instance, we live near a river, but we live on it's called a river dune. Basically, it's a mixture of sand and clay, which means that if it rains, generally the water is dissipating fairly quickly. So that means that in the summer when it's hot and when it doesn't rain for a couple of days, it will have to irrigate more to keep the soil moist, because it will evaporate more quickly because it's sand and not clay. And it takes that into account as well.
A lot of computer stuff, but not integrated into your Homey system.
It is linked. So for the and again, I do this for the reporting. So I can see in the home automation that a specific irrigation run has actually taken place. So I can see that it turned off and it turned on and it turned off. I can also see, because these irrigation computers, they are very small. They're like, well, I don't know, a large cube. They run on batteries. They run on three dual A batteries. At some point in time, they're empty, right? So I'd like to know when that happens. And the automation keeps track of the battery. Nice. And it will give me a red flag when one of the irrigation computers is near empty. Cool. As well as the sensors.
That's pretty automated situation. It's pretty okay going, I think.
Yeah, well, the biggest advantage basically is that, well, first of all, you don't have to walk through the garden with a hose. Because, well, I've done that once. Well, the biggest advantage to have it, well, first of all, I'm lazy. You're so efficient. Well, let's put it like that. Yeah. That sounds more positive, doesn't it? So it's it actually results in very green plants. They feel very at home here, right? And you can see that in the summer, everything is flowering and blooming and very green and big leaves and big flowers and everywhere. So this is very, really, really a very nice result of this home automation. Also, when we are away for a long weekend or on holiday, just goes on. My lawnmower just mows the lawn, whether I'm there or not. The irrigation just continues, whether I'm there or not. So I don't have to ask my neighbors to water my plants and then they think, yeah, well, we'll look tomorrow. And then half the plants in the greenhouse are dead. No, they don't have to do that because it's automated. So
it all sounds positive, but I think you also had some issues. What was the biggest fail in the whole system?
So the biggest fail that we had actually involved my neighbors. And there was a moment they were not so happy that they left next door to us. I was experimenting with the old irrigation pump that we had. And that thing wasn't smart, but I made it smart through a smart plug. So I could switch it on and off using the home automation. The thing is that it did not have any leak detection or anything. It just was a very powerful pump. So I connected all the hoses to it, and it was sitting outside, and apparently, well, according to the manual, it was waterproof, so you could leave it outside in the rain. Okay, wonderful. I created a waterproof power connection, and it was sitting there, and we connected the hoses up, and everything was fine. So it switched off and on and off and on and off and on. And I checked it a couple of times and everything looked fine. So I basically let it go, right? You know, I don't have to every time watch it when it runs. So at some point in time, our doorbell rang and my neighbor was at the door. Said, can you look at your sprinkler? Because I think something went wrong. Whoops. Okay. Let's see. So the way this works is you basically connect parts of a hose to a sprinkler. So the sprinkler basically breaks up the hose. You connect both sides of the hose to the sprinkler, and then the water travels on, and the sprinkler obviously gets the water. Well, one of those hoses popped off, and the hose that draws the water in was roughly 2 centimeters in diameter. So that is a big hose, which will suck in a fair amount of water. But the hose doing the irrigation actually is a 14 mil hose. So taking into account that this is a fairly powerful pump, the amount of water coming out of that hose is fairly impressive. So unfortunately, one of those hoses popped off and got slammed into the divider that's between us and our neighbors. And it started spraying this orange-colored water over their new garden house. So they were not very happy.
I can imagine. I wouldn't be very happy.
Unfortunately, it was, first of all, it wasn't in the summer, so it didn't immediately bake in. Second, they spotted it fairly quickly, so it didn't actually spray on a very long time. Otherwise, their garden shed would be orange right now with iron. So we could fairly easily spray it off with water and just plain tap water. And the problem was solved. But the amount of water coming out of the hose was very impressive. And that's, you know, that's a risk, obviously, when you do stuff like that. You know, when a hose breaks or tears or pops off or whatnot, you know, if you have a well like I do, and you have a 4, 5, 6 atmosphere pump, or I think that's 20-ish psi, that the amount of power coming out of that house is, coming out of that hose is a lot. And if that water isn't completely clean, which if it's groundwater, it isn't, then the effects can be not good.
And if it's automated, then it will automatically fail.
Yeah, and because that pump didn't have any leak detection or anything, I mean, that thing would just go on and on and on and on and on and on. And that was a moment where I said, okay, so maybe we should swap out this pump with something that has a bit more intelligence in it. So that Gardena thing that we now have attached to it actually has leak detection. So it notices when it has a specific resistance, and when that resistance suddenly is gone, excuse me, and you get notified. And it will tell you you should check your pump because we think something's wrong.
That's a good thing.
It is, it definitely is.
So that was your biggest fail. If you have only one thing you can mention, what would you say is your biggest gain?
So I would say the biggest gain is the fact that we use this in the vegetable garden. And seriously, we had the very, very, very best of tomatoes last year, and they were so delicious. They were gone as soon as they were ripe from the plant. They went into the kitchen, and we ate them in salads or in sauces or whatever. They were so good. And well, you know, part of that is the fact that they get irrigated every day. They just get their share of water, and if you it immediately results in wonderful fruits and vegetables from your own garden. So I can, if you have a vegetable garden, you're interested in this, please have a look, because it's definitely worth your
with mind. A little wink to last episode, I saw the pictures on Facebook.
Some of them,
they look good.
Exactly. Definitely. So we had two zucchinis and tomatoes and green beans, salad, all kinds of cabbages, cauliflower. Wonderful. Oh, nice. Yeah, it's superb. And it always tastes so much better than when you buy it in the store. Maybe because it's your own effort as well, but it's also because, there's not a single thing in it, right? We do not use any chemicals to get rid of animals or whatever. It's just, and honestly, I mean, some stuff gets eaten. Yeah, that's part of nature, right? We have slugs and we have mice and we have all kinds of other animals that try to eat some of the of the harvest. But generally, it's definitely worth your while. And if you try this with your water irrigation automation, it will definitely result in a very nice harvest.
So, any plans for the future with a whole garden automation?
Well, a couple, but it depends on how it's. First of all, my wife wants to extend the vegetable garden, so I'll have to extend the irrigation there as well. And last year, we had the first time that we actually tried I know you've seen that, the heightened strawberry planter. Well, I don't know how else to call it. So it's basically part of our pergola.
And strawberries with an altitude.
Strawberries on attitude or altitude, depending on how you look at it. And that didn't, well, it was sort of successful, as in the plants did a wonderful job, but they also got eaten a lot by bugs. And The second harvest wasn't very great. So, and that probably has to do with the fact that it's not deep enough. So there's not enough soil underneath it. And you also see that when I turn on the irrigation, after 2 minutes, the water starts mm-hmm. coming out. So this is a problem, and I need to fix that. So this is something that I've made some new drawings for, and we'll probably build that somewhere around April, May timeframe.
Nice.
And then it will be a bit deeper, so a bit more massive, and hopefully a bit more in the sun, depending on how our summer is going to be this year. But it should result in more strawberries.
Cool. Looking hopefully. Forward to it.
Yeah, last year was already pretty good, but like I said, the first harvest was actually very good, very tasteful as well, but there was no second round, and that was a bit of a pity.
Exactly. So I think it's time for our tips. Well, tip, because I don't have any.
Well, I do have one, and that actually has to do with the robotic mower. And you see that when you buy a robotic mower in the store, a lot of the times it's got either spike wheels or these hard plastic wheels. And what you will notice, and I think you did as well, in your garden, after a while, you will see spurs. So a trail where the robotic mower drives home, or where it has a bit of issue, maybe climbing up or down a little hill or something. And it will drive through that specific area a lot. And then at some point in time, the grass will just die there. And I noticed, and this is, not my tip, but I did see the effect of it. I actually swapped out the wheels of my robotic mower for rubber tractor wheels. So they actually look exactly like a tractor wheel, so with the pointed profile on it. And I mounted those, at least the rear wheels, because my robotic mower has a rear wheel driver. I mounted those to the robotic mower last year, and you immediately noticed that there was less of a damage to the to the grass. So sometimes it just gets stuck, right, and it starts digging itself in, and you see that the damage to that is also less.
Tip.
That's beneficial. Definitely.
Well, if you can find some links to, I see in the notes that you found them on eBay.
Yes, a lot of those extra parts you can find on eBay. So I've got a Works robot mower, that's WORX, which I think is German-ish. I think you've got a Robomo, top of my head. But Gardena has robotic mowers. Husqvarna, which is from, I think, Sweden, has robotic mowers. They sell them everywhere. But generally, these parts can be found on eBay or Amazon. So just try and find, if your brand has those tractor wheels, and you'll be happy to put them on. You'll see the result.
Well, with that, I think it's time to go to the garden and do some automation.
Good
Thanks
plan.
For listening. If you have any questions, please let us know in the comments below. Please subscribe, put up the thumbs, and let us know if you want us to talk something about, or if you want to ask us anything, let us know and we'll talk about it. So with that, I'm AJ.
Alex.
See you next time.